The actor, John Wayne, is famous for several of his movies. He was a good actor. It's really amazing how much movies and things shape culture. But anyway, in several of his, I think four or five of his cowboy movies, he either refers to someone else as a pilgrim or himself as a pilgrim. And I always thought that was funny because in the one movie, he's actually mocking the guy in the movie Who Shot Liberty Valance. In essence, he's calling the guy a newbie. Amen? So we don't want any, well, let me put it this way. We want newbies in the kingdom of heaven, amen? We want people to be born into the kingdom of heaven so that we can take them from being newbies and set them on the path of pilgrimage to find their destiny and what God has for them. How many know that living for God is not all about finding your best life, amen? It's about living for God and honoring Jesus and doing His will, trusting and obeying what He would want us to do, amen? To live right, to live clean, to trust in His mercy, to put our full confidence in the merits of the cross and the salvation that He paid the price for, amen? Hallelujah, because we couldn't pay it ourselves, amen? There's no way, no way in the world, no way in the universe that you can pay for your own sins. You can't do enough good works. There's no balancing out. That's a popular misconception. Well, maybe my good works will be overpowering my bad works, and you know, and God will take that into account. No, all that God sees is Jesus. Amen? Did you put your trust in Jesus? Did you place your faith in the unquestionable success of His sacrifice? And the proof of that unquestionable success is an empty tomb. Amen? Hallelujah. So we want to be pilgrims. We have a destiny. We're going somewhere. Amen? Hallelujah. So it says in verse 5, blessed, or it should say, how blessed, oh, wonderfully, marvelously blessed is the man or the person whose strength is in God, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Amen? This world is not our real home. It's not our permanent residence. We have an inheritance waiting for us in eternity. Amen? In the meantime, we have something to do while we're down here on earth, and that is make our way and pilgrimage towards God. As they passed through the valley of Baca, and what this is talking about is this is people in the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, there was festivals that every man, that's why it says man, every man had to present themselves before God three times a year. And so this is actually a literal description of someone, a man, on his way to one of these feasts. And it says that he walks through the valley of Baca. And this literally was a dry valley, and it literally means the valley of weeping. Remember last week as I was preaching and I told you I read the proclamation that Abraham Lincoln wrote proclaiming a national day of fasting and prayer at the urging of Congress. Can you imagine Congress or the Senate this today saying, hey, President Trump, why don't you proclaim a day of fasting and prayer so we can pray to Jesus? That probably will not ever happen in our lifetime. It would take a miracle, amen? And here's Abraham Lincoln, and in his proclamation, he's saying, you know, we as a nation, we've prospered, and we're still prospering as a nation. God's hand is on this nation in just a marvelous way. It's just so amazing to see how we've progressed and made life, you know, a lot better and improved the standard of living for people. And in that proclamation, he gets to a point, he says, we have forgotten God. And when I first read that, it something just struck me, and I still feel like weeping because as a nation today, we have forgotten God. We've kicked God out of school. We've kicked prayer out of school. They don't want the Ten Commandments displayed at school. Well, that's crazy. That you could just put it there as a piece of literature. But it's got power behind it because it's authored by God. Can you say amen? And so the rain also covers it with pools, and these pools were there for refreshment. How many need refreshment on your journey towards heaven and your journey in destiny, reaching what God wants you to reach? Amen. I need it almost every day. I need to wake up and say, oh, instead of waking up and saying, oh, God, it's morning. We should wake up and say, good morning, God. Amen. Good morning, another day. Thank God for another day. Praise God. God is so gracious to us. Hallelujah. The other day I woke up and noticed I'm an old man now. It just crept up on me. I could hardly stand it out there yesterday sitting there in the hot sun. How many have ever read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress? I've read parts of it. I've seen the film. What's that actor's name? Liam Neeson or whatever his name is. He's a tough guy. He was an evangelist in that movie that they made. And I thought, man, I wonder if he remembers that, what he's doing nowadays. Pilgrim's Progress. It's an allegorical story of the Christian walk with God and all of the troubles that we go through and how God graciously helps us along the way. He wrote that while he was in prison. Can you imagine today getting arrested and putting in prison for preaching the gospel? He was unlicensed. Oh, so what? He was authorized by God himself. Amen? And so are you and I. Hallelujah. The valley of weeping. So if you, when you're praying and you feel like weeping, go for it. Amen? God collects our tears in a bottle, the Bible says in the book of Psalms. Hallelujah. So watch what happens. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, what does God say? God says, I will pour water on him who's thirsty. Anybody ever been thirsty for God? I have. There's times when I've, in my walk with God, that it seems like God is nowhere around, and there's everything inside of me cries out, God, I need you. Amen. That's a good place to be, amen, because God says he will pour water on whoever's thirsty, floods on the dry ground, and these are not harmful floods. I know up in Phoenix they do what they call flood irrigation. They just flood the whole plot of land. It's like, man, that's a lot of water. They were in a desert. What are you guys doing? But that's what they do, and it makes things grow, and they make money. So praise God. But look what else he says. God says, I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. Amen. What a promise from God. That God not only wants to bless us, but he wants to extend that blessing. I believe it's in the book of Deuteronomy. It says, the blessing shall come down and chase after you and overtake you. Amen. And spread out from you. What's the blessing? It's the presence of God. Amen. Praise God. God, this is exciting stuff. The presence of God, the living God who created heaven and earth, looks upon the tiny speck of dust called planet Earth. And now the whole universe has been set in motion just so we can live here on Earth. It's called the anthropic principle. If one thing was out of whack, there would be no life on Earth. But God has purposed, amen, God has purposed something to special here on this little speck of dust. And that's you and I, made in the image and likeness of God. He will pour his blessing on our offspring. I can hardly wait. I have unsaved loved ones. My kids, my grown adult kids, they're not really serving God. Oh, my, I would love to see them serve God. And I'm waiting for that day and praying for that. And Blake's wife, Mireya, said, don't give up. I read a story of a man, I believe his name was George Mueller. He said, I've been praying for my friend for 63 years, and he's not saved yet, but he will be. Amen. Can you imagine? 63 years, and his friend still not saved. Talk about stubborn. Hallelujah. And then in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1, it says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. How many have waiting for the latter rain. We're looking, amen, the kingdom of heaven, the church worldwide is looking for latter rain outpourings again and again and again. We've had some before. We've had some in the last century. I find it so amazing that about the time of the great San Francisco earthquake was about the same time as the outpouring that began in the Azusa revival. Don't you find that amazing? A tremendous earthquake took place, and then God poured out His Spirit, and it went worldwide. Hallelujah. God is unstoppable. Amen. The Lord will make flashing clouds or lightning. He'll give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. I like grass. It looks nice. It feels nice. And when you cut it, it smells nice. Amen. And God promises He's going to do stuff for us like that. Hallelujah. He's so gracious to us. And in Joel chapter 2, verse 32, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, but shall be. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. The Lord has said among the remnant whom the Lord calls. God wants to pour out His Spirit, I believe, like never before. I pray that you and I as a church and that the whole church worldwide would begin to beseech God even more fervently that He would pour out His Spirit, that we would see revival, that we would see the amazing miracles, that we would see with our own eyes, that we would taste the goodness of God. Amen. Excuse me. Psalm 84, verse 7, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. I always wanted to be a strong man, but I'm not that big, so. I did lift weights when I was in high school, but almost killed myself one time. I had my shirt off, and I slid and dropped a bar on my neck. I said, well, forget this. I think I'll just... be more careful. But I wanted to be a strong man when I was growing up, and always seemed like I was one of the little guys. But that's okay, because God gives us strength. Hallelujah. They, those that are on pilgrimage, go from strength to strength. Hallelujah. Everyone appears before God. You know, that's interesting. There's a scripture in the New Testament, and we'll get to it later. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says that we go from glory to glory. And what I believe it's talking about, going from strength to strength and glory to glory, is victory to victory. When you have a problem or a situation and you know God's in it and you see His hand and you see Him move and you go from victory to victory. That's how the Christian life's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be going from defeat and desolation to desolation and defeat. It's supposed to go from victory to victory and glory to glory, so that God gets honored, so that we can testify and say, God has graciously touched my life. I was thinking the other day about a little over 5 years ago, I was almost $500,000 in debt. And so I prayed. The first thing I did is I prayed, God, what am I going to do? And God gave me direction, and God opened doors, and God blessed my finances. And now I only owe 10% of it or so about that. And it shrunk, and God did an amazing thing in my finances. It just amazes me, because I trusted God. I prayed and asked God for direction, and He helped me. Hallelujah. Love to testify how God has touched our lives. Amen. Give God the glory. Give God the honor. Hallelujah. Each one appears before God in Zion. This is also not only a physical appearing that they had to go three times a year. I believe this is a spiritual thing. How many know we're in a spiritual battle? Most everything that's happening is a result of spiritual warfare. It manifests in physical problems and episodes, but the basics behind everything is spiritual warfare. But thank God that Jesus defeated the enemy. Amen. It says that He paraded him about, disarmed the enemy, and paraded him about as a defeated foe, just like the Romans would do. They chained them together. Here's our captives. We whooped them. Amen. We conquered them. Jesus conquered the devil, death, hell, and the grave, and the power of sin. Glory to God. Psalm 84, verse 11. Look what it says here. The Lord is a sun and a shield. He's a sun because he lights the way. Amen. And he's a shield because he protects us. Hallelujah. And look what else it says. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Well, I mess up sometimes. I stumble sometimes. I don't always walk uprightly. Well, get back up. Amen. If you stumble, get back up. Hallelujah. But no good thing. How many know God is the best dad in the whole universe? No good thing. He loves to put good things. It is your Father's good pleasure, it says in Luke, to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. My dad was a good dad. But God is an even better dad. Hallelujah. No good thing. He'll give grace and glory. And grace is his favor and glory. Eventually, we're going to be in glory. Amen. All things should be done to honor or glorify God and Jesus. Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. God says again, I will pour on the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication. I really like this one here. God wants us to supplicate him. God wants us to pray to him. God wants us to ask him things because he says, ask and I will answer. Amen. Ask, seek, and knock. I think that's so amazing that ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. It spells ask. And that's so, God's got a good sense of humor. Here, guys, I'm going to make it easy for you. Ask. Praise God. They will look on him, me, and this is God speaking, whom they pierce. They will mourn for him, one who mourns for his only son, and grieve for him, one who grieves for a firstborn. This right here, I was reading in the commentary, when a person really repents, when they really understand what Jesus did on the cross, being pierced for our iniquities, bruised, crushed for our punishment, taking our place. Instead of fearing God, we should look at this, at the cross, with all the love that we can muster in our hearts and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you for paying the price that I could never pay. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. Amen. We can't thank him enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go on. Moreover, whom he predestined. How many know God predestined everyone to get saved? That's what predestination means. It means God wants everyone to be saved. He also called. How many have been called? Hallelujah. We should all respond because he justifies, makes us innocent before us, and he also glorified. God honors those who honor him. Amen. Let's go on. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. All of us with unveiled face, talking about, remember Moses had to put a veil over his face, and then they had the veil in the temple so he couldn't get in there. And now it's, the way is open. Hallelujah. Beholding in, as in a mirror, this, I believe, the commentators will say that this is talking about looking at the Word of God and see how it reflects on us. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, or strength to strength, or victory and to victory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. How many know that God is not done with us? Amen. Hallelujah. He who begun a good work in you will bring it about to completion. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't give up hope. Amen. Keep going. Keep making progress on your pilgrimage. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we'll close with this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Notice, this is very, very important. I was sharing last week, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting by Derek Prince. And he emphasizes this, and I believe he's correct. First of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Kings first, and all who are in authority. Next Saturday, the 28th, there is going to be a worldwide protest, or not worldwide, nationwide protest called No King Over Me. Does anybody know where that phrase, No King, came from? Anybody ever heard of the French Revolution, 1789? Just before the French Revolution, they got rid of God, and they entered the Age of Enlightenment, where logic and no need of God came to the forefront of everyone's thinking. So they kicked God out, and they had the Age of Enlightenment, and then they had the French Revolution, and the French Revolution ushered in the Reign of Terror, where the guillotine was invented, so they could chop people's heads off cleanly and, you know, humanely. That's what happens when you get rid of God. You have the Reign of Terror. And their motto was, no king over me. And you have that strange movement, that strange phrase here in the United States coming to the forefront. No king. Oh, this president we got is acting like a king. Well, have you prayed for him? This is what we're supposed to do for him and his cabinet. And every elected official and every person that's in authority. You, as a Christian, you should be registered to vote. And you should vote. Because it counts. It makes a difference. And we should pray for those in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The CEO of, I believe it was Wikipedia, last year got up in front of everybody in one of those TED Talks, I think it was, saying, you know, we need to redefine truth. I say, what? Redefine truth? Well, truth isn't truth anymore. What? What are you talking about? Truth is, if it's not truth, it's not truth. Truth has to be. God wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And that Jesus will save anyone who calls upon him. Amen. Praise God. We have access. Care should be taken to maintain the avenues that lead to church and lead to Jesus. Those who press forward in their Christian course shall find God adding grace to them. Don't give up. Amen. There is a promise of great reward, and not only in this life, but in the life to come, because this life is not all there is. There's more. The best is yet to come. Amen. No matter what it looks like. How many got to watch the video of Pastor Larry Neville and his wife over in the Philippines and that last conference they had? He met a Chinese pastor and his wife, and he asked the Chinese pastor, what was the best thing about living in communist China? And you never guess what that pastor said. He said it was the persecution. I said, really? Because it forced people to either make a decision for God, live for God really, or not. And he said that the persecution has spurred the growth of the church. It always amazes me how adamantly opposed people are to Jesus. Why, what harm has Jesus done to you? He's humble. He's harmless as a dove, gentle as a lamb. What possible means, idea would make you not want to love Jesus in return for the steadfast, faithful love that he poured out on all of us? He gave up his life for us. Gave it. He laid down his life for every human being. What a wonderful message. And people oppose it. I just don't understand it. Must be the spiritual warfare. Therefore, I was going to ask everyone to fast and pray this Saturday, but apparently we have something else going on. So if you would care to join me. Friday, I know we have the movie night at 6. I'm going to come at 4 to pray. Saturday afternoon, I'm going to come to church here and pray. And I want to invite every one of you to come and join me. Prayer, they say, whoever they are, those that are knowledgeable, is the powerhouse of the church. God moves in response to prayer. also on Wednesday, and I believe the ladies, you're going to have something also this week, Wednesday. Wednesday at 10, Brother Eddie comes, and Viola. So, Wednesdays, okay. Everybody's welcome. So let's have some prayer meetings, see what God does. Amen. Praise God.